I saw and many of you saw. And today I believe that he wants us to experience those same things. So we're going to move quickly. And I'm not even going to read all these scriptures because I just want to hit all this tonight and move us ahead. So we see in verse 9, in verse 10, and verse 11, he's coming back in and he's reminding us of the things that God has done for us through Jesus. And he's telling us in verse 9 that all Jesus did on the cross and by resurrecting is all we're ever going to need in the here or the there. Okay? Here and now, while we're alive on the earth or in eternity. And the truth is, for believers, the day you were born, you entered into eternity. It's never going to be over for you. But the pain and the suffering of this world will be over. But life is never going to be over for us. So I want to just go quickly. We're going to move through this quickly. And I want to expose on each one of these, there's a lie that I believe that's come across that I want to expose tonight. I believe that the lie is from the world or our culture or however you want to put it, that there's a standard that I must accomplish to be saved or to stay in God's good graces. You've heard family members say, oh, if you want to stay in their good graces, you better do this, that, or the other. And we've put that off on God. And we've said that if you don't do certain things, he's going to turn away from you. He won't love you. We've used the scripture the enemy uses, don't forget, the word, against us. So he'll come in, and like he said to Jesus, it is written, yes. But the truth is, he can come into us and say, well, you know, he separates himself. Once you sin, sin separates us from God. That's a scripture. But why would I wallow in sin? Why wouldn't I just say, you know what, that's right, but I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn to my knees. I'm going to believe God that Jesus is bigger than my failure. I'm going to ask for that blood to cover me, and I'm just going to get back in fellowship. But instead, we buy the lie that there's something that we have to do to attain good status to keep us in good relationship with God. And the one good thing that we've got to do is remember that Jesus already did everything for our salvation. So there's two things that are required in this, and you can bypass the lie and get over it. One is we've got to believe. That's in Romans 10:9. I had these out for everybody to read, but I'm just going to tell you, write it down. Romans 10:9. Please read it later. I want you to make sure I'm not crazy. But he's telling us we have to believe that he is who he says he is and that we're saved by the work of Jesus. Then the second things we're going to have to do is I'm going to have to act out on what I believe by faith, because I don't know how this is going to work. But the more I step out in faith, I see his mercy and I experience God when I step out on faith. And so that is not going to come from wisdom. Wisdom, I can get wisdom in a book and never experience it and understand it. If I understand the process of sowing and reaping, because the Bible talks about it, and I read up on it, and I watch YouTube, and I can say, well, I believe that. But if I never plant a seed, if I never take care of a plant, I never enjoy the fruit of that. So I need to act on what I believe. And I'm finding that today, we believe the word is true, but we don't believe it enough to act on it. Anybody in here ever pay to go to a doctor? Anybody, you've paid to go to a doctor, okay? So when you go to the doctor, why are you going? Sick. You're sick, or something's wrong, or you've got a fear about something, and you want to have that checked out and just make sure. So after you go to a doctor, does he say, hey, I'm here to help people. You don't need to pay anything today. Anybody ever get that? Okay, so after you go and you pay and you see this doctor, and this doctor tells you, here's what the deal is. This is happening in your life. I want you to go home. I want you to get this prescription filled, or I want you to go home and change your eating habits, or whatever he tells you, right? So you get that information, and you go in your car, and you're driving back, and you say, you know what? I didn't even see his degree on the wall. How do I know that was a real one? I think that I know pretty much what's going on. I Googled this. So now I'm just going to bypass what he said, and I'm going to do what I think. Does that make any sense at all? Because why would a price have been paid, and you gleaned information because you had trust in them, and now all of a sudden you don't? And that's the way it is with God. We believe the word, we know what it says, but there's times when we say, you know what, that's probably not that important. Well, it's true that he has mercy and grace for us when we don't act on it, but guess who's losing out? We are, exactly, because then I don't have the experience to draw from to know, man, if I'd have just taken the time and pressed in a little bit more, here's what God could have done in my life. So we're going to keep moving. We know this from 1 Timothy 1:16. He talks about by faith that there's things that we need to act on. Now, it's not my work that saves me, but it's my work on my faith that matures me. And clearly, we just read week before last out of 2 Peter 1:5-8, there were some things that he's requiring from us. What God's promised, what he's requiring from us. And what he's requiring from us is to apply what Jesus has done to our lives and to follow it, just like Peter's saying. So the second thing, we're going to look at verse 10, and he talks about this. He says, we are sharing now in Jesus. We get to be a part of him and experience him. There's a lie in our culture that says that experience God is not for everyone. People say, oh, well, you know, if that's what you want to believe, that's good for you. That's what you want to believe, but we don't all have to know that. We don't all have to experience that. How are you going to know something's true unless you've experienced it? Well, I got married, and it came with the handbook. And so I took the handbook, and so the first morning when I got up, I read in the handbook, and I followed it perfectly, and I went in the kitchen, and I'm making breakfast because it says, you know, the one who doesn't have to go to work first is the one who's going to make the breakfast. So I'm like, okay, well, that's me. So I get in there. You girls should have appreciated that. So I get in the kitchen, and I start making the breakfast. And then I look, and so Steve walks in the room, and I go, I take a look at him, and I go, okay, let's see, E4, because his hair's messed up. It's not straight. Okay, hello, Steve. Good morning. I hope you slept well. Gee, even though your hair's messed up, I think that you look really nice, no matter how your hair looks. Turn to page 17. Is there anything special you needed today in your diet that would help you? Do you have that manual? Because I don't. But once we make a commitment, it's more than just following something automatically or looking. You have to interact in a relational way to know those people. If I tell Steve, maybe we shouldn't even record this. If I tell Steve, you know, honey, your hair's all messed up, it's okay, you look good. The man would never do anything to his hair again because I just affirmed him. Y'all know if I don't sit over here and hold the rein tight, it's going to get crazy in here, right? So thank you. So what I'm saying to you is we have to experience what we believe in because we can't follow just out of knowledge. We have to follow out of experience. You and I have never seen Jesus, I'm guessing. You know, anybody in here seen him? Because I'm good with it. But we've never seen him. How do I know him except by my experiences? How do I know him except that I trust him and step out in faith on something he's asking me to do that I don't want to do? Or that I even question? Like, you know, that just seems really crazy. Let me just tell you, when you buy into the lie that you don't need to experience God, you're missing out on intimacy and fellowship and a true love that is real. It's just as real as if he's standing here beside me. I'm going to give you a little story. And this happened to me this week, and I'm sharing it for you to hear the God in it, okay? It's not a puff-up story. I just want you to, I can only share with you what I experience, right, to encourage you. Well, 2 years ago, when, you know, every first week in December, the Van's aunts go to Disney World because that was a place where we didn't have memories of Leah, and we go there to have Christmas because, you know, we're busy here. So we always want our kids to know they came first. So we do that. So 2 years ago when we went to Disney, my husband said to me, I want you to go to the spa and have a treatment. I'm like, dude, just give me the money. Serious. He's like, no, Gay, you need to go. And I was like, Steve, it's overpriced. It's where he goes, no, that's what I'm paying for. And I was like, if it's a gift, just give me the money. You know, right? But he's like, no, you're going. So I went. And I'm very nervous around things that I'm out of my league on. So I went in, and, you know, it's very foofy and everything. And so, you know, I had prayed about it. Lord, please help me. Don't let me get any snobs or anybody's going to make me feel inadequate, because I already do. And so that's just being honest with God. But I told him. So I went in and met this young lady, and I went in, and, you know, they're supposed to be quiet, right, and just whatever. So anyway, this girl, I knew. The minute she started, the Lord's like, she just needs to pour her heart out. Let her do it. And I kept thinking, but I'm not getting my money's worth. But I thought, well, okay. So I just let her keep talking, and she talked, and I would, you know, respond, and she'd tell me about some issues she was having, and I, you know, gave her what I could and told her about experiences with my kids, because her kids are younger. And before you knew it, you know, I'm crying, and she's wiping tears off my face, and she's like, oh, this just, you just don't know. And I was just like, yes, I do know. This is a divine appointment from God, and I don't care what you believe. You know, I just want you to know this is my experience. And because I believe in him, he's the one who gives me wisdom. I couldn't make this stuff up. I couldn't think of it. And so, you know, we're just sharing and everything. So I leave and whatever, and it's wonderful. You know, she's done this facial thing. And so Steve's like, how was it? I said, was it great? Her name's, you know, and I told him everything. He's like, Gay, you're supposed to go in. And I was like, honey, she just needed to pour out. It's okay, right? Gave her this big, great review, and I kept her little card. So this year we're going back. Well, it's Tiffany's birthday, and her one thing she wants to do is go to the spa. Well, you know, that's intimidating to me, but I'll go with Vicky, my friend from Georgia, because Vicky pays, and and I don't feel inadequate with her because she knows how to navigate all that. She never makes me feel inadequate, so I'm safe with her. So he's like, you know, she's like, I want to do this, and I'm like, okay. So I told Steve we're going to go. Well, I had that card. So I went back, and I just asked for the same girl, right? So we get in there, and we're getting ready. Well, she comes for me first, and she said, Miss Van Zandt. I stood up, and she just reached over and hugged me, and she's like, hey, we're glad to have you back. And I thought, well, you know, they write all this stuff down, whatever. So we got out in the hall, and she just keeps her arm around me, and she's just leaning in, and she's a little taller than me. She's like, so how's it going? How's the church? And I was like, good. How are your two kids? And she goes, good. And so we get in the room, and she shuts the door, and she goes, I wrote on your chart, amazing woman. And I went, what? And she's like, yes, I wrote on your chart, amazing woman. And I didn't have any appointments after you, because I'm gonna keep you longer. I'm gonna do some special things for you. And I was like, well, I didn't realize how dry my soul was. Does that make sense to you? And I hate to say that, because generally I think if your soul's dry, my opinion is it's because you're missing something with him, right? So I'm like, but I didn't know it. And she starts telling me all this, and she's like, now we're just going to take care of you. And she starts doing all this stuff, and she's like, yes, I wrote that on your chart. And she said, I just want to tell you right now, you are not insignificant. And tears are just pouring, you know? And I'm like, and I didn't know I needed it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm kind of embarrassed, and she's just wiping the tears, and she keeps going, and she said, I just want you to know, she said, everything you do counts. You don't realize it, but just being who you are. It's not even what you say sometimes. It's just being who you are. And she shared with me how her life had, you know, everything had changed and all this stuff. And I'm telling this story, Dwayne. So she just kept loving on me, and she just kept saying, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. She goes, now your time is up. She goes, but you'll just need to tell the others. They're going to have to wait because we're going to do some extra things in here. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I'm looking at it later, y'all. It was, what she did for me was like double what I paid, okay? So I'm just, you know, bawling and everything, and I get up from there, and we just hug, and we just, you know, love on each other. And so I walk out, and Tiffany's waiting in the hall, and of course she's dressed and everything, and she goes, oh, she said, this is an amazing woman. Do you know that about her? And sweet little Tiffany just hugs me. She goes, yes, she is. She's an amazing woman. And I'm just like, whoa. 2 years ago, but I experienced God in that room. And I didn't think it was because I needed it. You better listen real close. I didn't think I needed what I gave to that woman. But God knew that there was a seed that was going to take some time to come back. But that seed was going to come back to me, and I needed it. So when I do something for someone else, I am experiencing God in a way that will never return void to me when I walk in love and in fellowship with the thing he wants me to do. Now, I know that my whole family mocks me, but I want you to know, I don't care. I don't care. They just roll their eyes and get ready for it, and I don't care. Because if I hear the Lord say, you better say something, I'm going to say it. And I don't mind going up in the line and saying, you know, somebody saying to them, you know, come, why don't y'all go in front of us? And the rest of them are like, I'm like, y'all, you look like you've had a bad day. Why don't you just get up here and get in this line and, you know, I just want to bless you today and whatever. And then all of a sudden they turn around and go, well, we have these box seats over here that we're not going to use tonight. Would you like to use them? And we're like, and then everybody's like, yeah. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? And you don't do it for that because you couldn't pick people out. And you're thinking, well, you know, Gay, that's blessing things. Blessing means contentment. I'm blessed to let them go first. I was blessed right there. I get some icing back when I just trust God for the experience. So there's some stories I could tell you that would just like, you could tell me the same stories. Ida in the hospital, you know those stories, right? Alicia, through your mom's death, you've learned some stories about how God's going to take care of you. I could just point at everybody in this room and say, you've had that God experience, but you have to have it because the truth is we are sharing in Jesus right now. The culture comes in and the culture says, what can this church do for me? That's what culture's saying. Everybody sits down and says, well, let's decide which church we need to. Which church meets our needs the best, right? But the Bible says that what I should do is, what can I do for the church? Who needs me? Where can I fill in the gaps? Because that's how you experience God. And I just loved it. I had Jim and Eli last night, and we're talking about the Christmas. You know, they're decorating some of the stage now for our big Christmas thing on Sunday, and we're talking about it. And so I was talking to Eli about singing. He goes, well, now, honey, you know I'm not a singer. I'm an actor, but I'm not a singer. I was like, and Jim Joy says, well, I'm going to be singing. We're going from a nursery, and Miss Cindy, and we're going to come in, and I'm going to be dressing Christmas. And when I sing, I'm going to sing happy birthday in Jesus, and we got a tree and a nursery, and I'm going to sing, and I sing by myself. I was like, okay, right? But see what a blessing that is to me, because that means that little Gemma Joy at 3 years old has experienced God in that nursery, and she's ready to sing happy birthday to Jesus. Okay? So that's a blessing. Those women who are serving and the men and the youth in that room are already implanting something. So they're saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to give up a Sunday service because I believe they need me in here. See, you may not think what you're doing is significant, but Peter is saying, see the significance in holding firm at where you are. And when I say that, I'm going to skip over just a little bit because I want to share something with you. Out of chapter 5, actually chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 5 both say, in the, I believe it's the King James, it said, and add to your faith virtue. Let me explain what the word virtue is that he's talking about. Virtue really means to stand up. It's one who has, one who stands in the face of opposition, one who doesn't run from the battle. See, my faith isn't just about, oh, Lord, you know, bless Michael, you know, bless Tabitha. Yes, God. My faith is to stand up. My virtue is that I'm going to stand up to the opposition. And when the enemy comes in and he says to me, you know, well, you didn't do this, so God couldn't help you. Or when he comes in and he says to me, you know, well, you can't experience God like they do. I need to look back and say, I'm not meant to experience God like they did. But God, whatever you have for me, I want. And when the enemy comes in and tells you, you're not going to get that because you did this or because of people's choices. Some of us in here in this room are acting like people's choices are determining mine. I want to tell you, yes, your choice will determine my choice, but only according to this word. Because if your choice is that you're going to turn against God and you're going to hate everything, I'm going to love you, but I may have to love you from a distance. Or I may have to just jump on you like stink on monkey and start doing nice things for you till you get it. I got to know what the Lord is saying. Are you with me? I can't let the culture define this in me. I have to define who I am according to the Lord. But if we don't ever have these God experiences, June, you can't go into that cancer center and say, I prayed for curly hair and look what chemo gave me. Look, he's working all things for good. I wasn't happy about it, but I'm through it, and I'm saying to you, he can do it for you. You don't get that. You don't get that. Without the hardships, but the promise with God is every hardship is going to turn into a testimony, and every testimony is going to speak to who he is. And don't let what other people do to you define you. We need to have virtue with our faith and stand up and say, you know, that's not me. And I'm not going to get in agreement with that. I may have been that person. When my mom was dying with cancer, she they had a psychologist or psychiatrist, I don't know which one it was, but he pulled us in this room and gave us this little talk. And we all weren't there, but some of us were. And he said, now when people are dying and they know they're going to die, lots of times they'll tell you off. They get angry because they know their situation's changing and they can't, you know, process that. And so they'll get angry. So she may be snappy, she may be whatever, but sometimes when people are in the process, they'll start telling people off because they think it's their duty to straighten everybody out before they die. So I remember I got a phone call from my mom one day, and this, you know, just understand, I love my mother. I was shocked by the phone call, but I kept remembering what the guy said. And later she was so humiliated she'd done it. But she called me and she said, Gay Ruth, I hate that middle name, but she's like, Gay Ruth. I was like, I'm in trouble. I was like, Mom? She's like, I need to tell you something. I was like, okay. Do you remember when you were 16? I was like, vaguely. She's like, do you remember? And she started telling me about me and some friend and something, and you just did what she wanted you to do. And I was like, I said, well, Mom, all I can tell you is, you know, I'm like almost 40 years past that. And I can't answer for that anymore. And the Bible says that, you know, he's taken that and he doesn't remember it anymore. And don't use the word of God on me. And I was like. And so she makes this comment to me. And she starts crying. And she goes, you better listen to me. And so I was like, so my thought was just let her have it. Whatever she has to say, just let her have it. And she said, if you don't straighten up, you're going to go to hell and you'll never see Lee again. Well, that crossed the line. And I said, Mom, I can't talk to you anymore because what you're saying is not according to the Word of God. That's not who I am. And I'm fixing to hang up the phone, but I want you to know that I love you. And I just hung up the phone. So you don't need to listen to that. So 2 minutes later, I get a phone call from my dad who is using words that we don't use. What the, say to your mother? And I was like, well, Dad? And he's like, your mom called me crying and bawling, said you hung up on her. So I was like, Dad, here's what happened. So I told him the story, told him what I said, told him, I said, and Dad, when she said, and I could hear him just choke up and start crying. Well, okay. I said, but I didn't hang up, Dad. I said, Mom, I'm going to hang up now, and I explained it. Okay, I got it, you know. Okay, listen, I get it. There's times when we're in things that we do things that, but listen, you always can come back and use that to say what the enemy intended for evil, God turned it for good, because I can tell you right now, that didn't make me hate my mother. I realized where she was, but Mom and I experienced God then in a deeper way because I'd forgiven her. I was like, she's like, we're going to talk. I was like, Mom, we are never talking about that again. I was like, we are done with that. And she's like, no, I need to tell you that I'm sorry. And you need to listen to me. I was like, are you going to spank me? She goes, yes. And I was like, okay, I'll listen. But you know what I'm saying? And it drew us closer. But you got to know when to listen to some of this garbage and when to say no to it, because it can come even through a believer. This is what Peter's telling them. You guys, look at all these, man, these gifts that, you know, that he's given us. These things are irreplaceable, and yet you're getting petty over your opinions and your choices, and you're causing division and something that Jesus wouldn't have done. So get back on board with not just what he says, because listen to me, it's not just if you believe in him. Do you believe like him? Do you believe like Jesus that you can lay down your life and you don't have to be right and you don't have to win an argument and you don't have to come out of here looking like you have the answer? Because that's who he was, and I'm going to believe like him. Because sometimes when you're going to be put in situations, you're going to have to reference back, not to the word of God alone, but to what he did with his faith, because virtue means standing up and not losing the battle. And don't let the world tell you and define who you are. I'm really big on this right now, because you guys know I've been saying this for weeks and weeks, but you need to hear me. You're being subtly seduced into believing who you are, and it's not who God says. The world is telling you, you're hurt, you're weak, you're a victim in these ways, and you deserve, and so don't, you know, give up because you got the power. That's all untrue according to the word of God. If I'm going to experience him, I'm going to walk with him, and I'm going to say, I don't have the power, but he has the power. And I was not worthy of what happened to me that lady did for me. But Jesus said, you're going to get this blessing back, and I didn't do it for the blessing, but it came back to me. And I want to tell you something. When God wants to do something for you, you need to let him. But it's not going to be if you're in agreement with the world. We have to have virtue and stand up and say, hey, I'm ready to fight. Don't be talking about my kid like that. I don't care what they did. We believe the word of God, and I believe that this terrible thing is going to be the testimony that's going to be the launching pad to bring them out of how bad they are into how good God is. And once they've seen that and tasted that, they're going to be able to see other people set free. So either you're going to agree with me that we're in for a bright future according to the word of God, or we're not going to talk anymore, because I don't want to hear all that, because it's not feeding my soul. And that's what he's saying in that. And if you want some scriptures on that to be a part of him, it's Ephesians 3:19, Philippians 1:25, and Philemon 1:6. Ephesians 3:19, Philippians 1:25, and Philemon 1:6. So here's what happens. Jesus, this is how we can experience him. Don't forget the power you've been given. Jesus left here in his body. That's what Peter said. We saw his body. You saw him. So why are we doubting this? But now you and I are saying, but we never saw his body. Get this. What did he leave us that was his? His word? His words. We have his words, and somebody already said the other one. His spirit. Now, let's just think logically. I have his words, and I have his spirit. He left me his spirit, the thing that can communicate with God, the thing that comforts and counts. He left each of us his words and his spirit. So what's lacking? A body. Ding, ding, ding. The church is the
body.
Ding, ding, ding. Is this resonating with you? So no longer do I need him in the skin. I got you. I got you, babe. I don't know. Yes, that was like Steve, like flashback or something. I don't know. Sorry. But anyway, I have you. You're the body. I had that woman in that room to come in and touch me and minister to me. I've got each of you because we are called not to say, which church can do this for me? Well, I need to leave here because I don't like the way this one said that. How would you like that if that's in your marriage? Because we'd all be playing musical spouse, you know, right? You have to be committed. And so we come into this thing, and he's just wanting us to realize we get to experience him now by his words and his spirit and even in the body. Maybe you've heard that phrase before. You know, you're just Jesus with skin on. We are the body. He still needs a body, and not to, like a ghost, to reincarnate and operate through, but so that his spirit in us will cause us to link with him, draw strength from him, and we'll begin to overcome these things that we keep facing and don't want to fight. We'll have the courage to fight because now I have an experience to draw from to give me the faith to keep on. In verse 11, he's given us eternity, and our eternity's already started. He's making a home for each of us. That's in John 14:2. He says he's building us a house. Then in James 5:7, he says that he's going to return for us and take us to that house. If he didn't believe I was worthy of being with him, why would he be building me a house? If he says he's going to return for you, and I read that in the Word, that means he desires me, he desires you to be with him. And here's the lie of the world. Well, you know, Gay, I get what you're saying, but, you know, if my circumstances were different, I could do this. But, you know, certain people have done these things, and now I can't, and I have all this, and I can't overcome it because these circumstances are in my life. Baloney. Did the circumstances in Jesus' life ever stop him? And I got his word and his spirit. I can hear the Father. I can know when to pull back. Listen, I don't have to win an argument. If I do what the Lord tells me, I've won. I don't care what you think. I've won. I know when I walk off and leave something, I can, listen, you know this. But we get caught up in the flesh and we want to be right and we want to be validated to prove our point and that we were the one who got that last word in. Did Jesus get the last word on the cross? What did the word say he did? When they came after him, his accusers, what did he do? He went to the slaughter like a lamb. He said nothing. Because listen, let them get you in the worst situation. Let your circumstances put you in the worst situation. Do I like this? No. But do we all need to hear it? Yes. Let the circumstances get me in the worst situation because that's when my faith is going to have virtue to stand and say, I can't do this battle, God, but you can. And I'm just going to stand here and be the body, and you just need to take over. And he will. Because the truth is, my circumstances don't change me. My circumstances reveal who I really am. My circumstances are showing if my relationship is with him, secure and trusting him, or if I need other people to validate me and bring me what I need, because if you don't bring it, I'm hopeless. My circumstances, including other people's choices, don't make me who I am. They reveal who I am. And I'm going to use what Jude 9 says because I want to be clear. And we're going to study this in a little next because Peter's moving. Well, we got to finish chapter 1, but in chapter 2, he starts talking about some false prophets and stuff. And I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not up to you and me to bind spirits and cast them out. That's not our job. I'm going to do what Michael did. I'm going to do what Gabriel did. I'm going to do what Jesus did. And even Jesus said to the Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." He had to use that authority and that power because he was in a human form. And Gabriel says, "The Lord rebuke you." Michael said, "The Lord rebuke." There's four powerful words. I don't have to bind and cast and loose and chase devils. They're going to find me. They're going to find me because I'm serving the Lord and I'm trying to do the best I can. But let me tell you something. The Lord rebuke you. I'm done with this. I'm tired of hearing about how bad I am. I'm tired of hearing about my circumstances defining me. I'm tired of thinking that, you know, this is going this way and because you see all these things, it's going to... No, the Lord rebuke you, okay? The Lord rebuke you. Get that thought out there. Listen, I lay hands on myself suddenly. Y'all don't accuse Steve of the bruises. If I'm ever whacking on me, don't, you know what I'm saying. But I have to do that sometimes. I'm not ashamed of that. Because I'm going to do what it takes to meet with him. Because I don't want you, Peter saying, and I'm saying to you tonight, what he's telling us is don't give up on him. Just give it up to him. Okay? Because he's done all these irreplaceable things for you. But the world is wanting to tell you with the pack of lies, here's how you can get around that. Here's how you can get around having to obey God when he tells you to give up something that you've worked hard for. Here's how you can get around it. Just do this instead. Too honest? And then you're like, I don't want to do it. And then I have to say to myself, Lord, do I love you? Because you did that for me. Now I can test the word and make sure it's him and not just my guilt. Because sometimes we do things out of guilt. But I can guarantee you this, you go to sleep on it and you say, Lord, tomorrow I want you to reveal to me. I'm asking you, Lord, to show me, direct me. You'll get confirmation. Because we don't give up, we give it up, okay? And the last thing I want to share with you is this. There's a guarantee. I'm going to guarantee you tonight how to be unproductive. I'm going to guarantee you this is how you're going to be unproductive with the Lord. And there's three things you need to be aware of. There's only one way to be unproductive with God, and that is don't use these three things. Don't use them, and you'll be unproductive. The first one that we're going to talk about is love. Well, intercession. But I want to tell you, if you don't love people, you're not going to intercede for them. Yeah, I want you to, Lord, I want you to get them all right. See, that's not the right kind of intercession. Intercession is, God, this person is a wounded animal. They do not know you. They do not know the definition of love. And they bought into what the world or someone else has lied over them. And I want you to go in and heal the pain in their heart. Remove this thorn out of their heart. Remove this place where they've been injured. Remove the unforgiveness. Listen, the most arrogant, the most self-centered people you're ever going to meet, can I just tell you right now, it's rooted in insecurity. Because they got to put up the screen that they know everything. Because if they don't, they're afraid of failure. And they've probably already failed. So you got to pray from a heart like you want somebody to pray for you when you're wounded. Anybody ever have a pet that you just love, and if that pet gets wounded and you go to help them, they just... And you're like, I'm your friend, I'm your mommy, you're my puppy, right? It's because it's a natural instinct. And we're operating in the natural and not the supernatural. And if you don't want to have success, I can guarantee unproductivity in your walk if you don't intercede. Don't talk about the nation and get caught up in it. Start praying for our nation. Fueling the fire of hatred and unforgiveness is going to do nothing. And it's against the word of God. So I got to begin to, Lord, whatever the root is, God, who's ever fueling this? who's ever fueling this hatred, oh God, right now just speak life over those places, God. Because listen, if you and I don't pray for that, our children, not just you, but your children or your children's children are going to pay the price for us not interceding. Because we need to do it now. The second thing is, and I can guarantee you, is if you don't love all people, you're going to be unproductive. You can't have selective love because he didn't. Now, I didn't say that you have to have, you know, best friendships with all these people that are on the list. Use the word. Go in. Know who's seeking to steal from you and suck life from you and just, you know, whatever. You got to know that. You got to know if there's motives. And I'm going to tell you, there'll be times when you got a good thing going and the Lord's going to say, separate. Separate. And you're going to go, but I like this. This is what I do all the time. It's like I see him going, really, Gay? I just ask you, really? I said it, and now you want to argue with me? Hello, 3-year-old Gemma. How old are you today? Well, how old are you today? Teenage Leah rolling your eyes. How old are you today? Oh, I'm trying. Okay, now we're getting somewhere, Gay. Now we're getting somewhere. So go ahead and mock me, but I'm going to tell you something. You better realize how you're talking to him. Because we are saying to him out loud, I don't trust you. You don't know what you're doing. What else am I saying? When I say to him, well, God, you can't be serious. Did anybody read in here where he pulled jokes on people and said, I was just kidding? No, he's serious. He's a serious God because our time is short to be the body and represent Jesus. That's not going to be what gets me to heaven. He's already paid that price, but I'm going to have to stay in agreement with my faith. If I believe that faith without works is dead, then I need to recognize I need to be I don't need to be a dead body of Jesus. Jesus resurrected. I need to be loving some people, and I need to be loving all people. Well, you know, that's really hard. Let me tell you, it's hard in this world right now to love people. I thought I'd get a little bit more out of that. If y'all were excited about the word, I thought that'd kind of bring it in. But here's the thing. We don't give up on Jesus, and Jesus doesn't give up on you. So I have to still keep believing for those other people, whether I like it or not. And the more I love people that are not lovable, the more my defenses come down and the easier it gets for me not to have to be right, not to have to prove a point, not to have come away with the last word. And boy, I want to tell you, I've learned that kindness definitely can shut down the anger. And sometimes when you're nice, it'll just make them madder. And they'll get so mad they can't even say anything because they know that the next thing out of your mouth is going to be kindness. And see, that's what the word tells me to do. It says it hits his kindness that draws us to repentance. So, man, you got those people, you know, I've told you, they come to the door and we need this and we need that. I'm going to pay you back. It's like, dude, you are not paying me back. This is a gift. Oh, don't say that. You know, look, I don't want to make a thief out of you. Just, you pay me back, praise God, come to church and put it in the plate. But this is from me to you. This is not from the church. You got people in a store and they're mad. Oh, I can't believe, I didn't do that. And they start in on the employee. You know what I do? I go and I say, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. Wish that was better for you. You know, and they just, I don't care. I just injected Jesus in the middle of that venom. I don't care. It didn't hurt me. It didn't cost me nothing. And they leave and I'll say to the employee, I'm so sorry you have to listen to that. Please don't let that go into your heart because that's not how most of us feel. And I just want you to know, man, you're not getting paid to do what you do. Nobody can pay you to take that kind of rude talk. Thank you for doing that today. I mean, people will break down and cry on you. What did I do? I loved all people and reached out like Jesus did to me when I didn't deserve it. And then the last thing is, I have to come in and I have to stay true to Jesus no matter the people, the situation, the culture. I have to remain loyal. And I'm going to be honest with you, just the way Peter's telling them, stay true to him. Don't cave. Don't weaken. I'm telling you, today, this word is needed. I have to use with my faith virtue and stand up. Now, I'm not standing up going, well, guess what? You're going to hell because the way you just talked to me. That's not love. That's not going to get anybody anywhere. But if I stand up and I say, you know what? You can believe whatever you want, but you will not change my belief in Jesus Christ. Because if you want to listen, I'll share just three experiences in my life that nobody else could have got me through but Jesus Christ. And you can never take my testimony away from me. And I can tell you, and you're like, oh, you don't know. Listen, God will give you just a small dose to wean you off of you into him, get you off the milk and into something else where you will begin to learn how to do it. And you may not want to do it. But if you're interceding for the world and you're loving all people, you are going to have the opportunity to stand up and to represent Jesus. Do you get it? I got his words. I got his spirit. What does he still need? The body. So I'm standing up. I'm not Jesus. My imperfection will only glorify him because I'm still going to be used by him and still say the right things. And if I get it wrong, I'm going to have to come back and say, I got that wrong. I want to apologize. I just want you to know I bought into the world's theory that I deserve something. And after all he's done for me, I just want to set you free from feeling like you owed me anything. Guys, that's hard in this world because it's contrary to the teaching of the world. But I am a representative of Jesus Christ. I'm not an employee of anybody. I'm not a customer of anybody. Everybody I'm with is a ministry. Everybody I'm in front of, I'm representing Jesus. And if I get it wrong, he's going to teach me something, and I'm going to grow, and that's what Peter is telling them. You've got to add to your faith valor. You've got to add to that gentleness, and with that, you're going to have to add. Because why? Because I'm maturing now. I'm not referring to the book. Good morning, Steve. How did you sleep last night? I don't need the book. I'm like, Steve, how'd you sleep last night? Dude, I don't even want to talk to you today because of the mess we got in yesterday, but I want you to know I'm going to love you. You're going to be so mad you married me because, dude, I'm in it for the long haul. You are not getting rid of me. That's not enough to get rid of me. And then we just laugh about it. Last week in the kitchen, or maybe it was even Monday, I don't know, so I turned around. We're in the kitchen, and I asked Steve a question, and I'm making coffee, and he's standing in the church kitchen. He's going through some papers, and I said, well, Steve, we really need to do this. What do you think about this? And he goes, what'd I tell you? Well, I just busted out laughing because all of a sudden, instead of going, how dare you talk to me? It was hilarious. I was like, how old do you think I am? Like, really? Like, isn't that how you talk to a little kid when they get something wrong? All I did was ask you a question. Well, what did I tell you? And I said it back to him, and we just died laughing. It became funny. Why? Because if there's an offense, you fuel it. If you forgive it, you kill it. And that's what we need to be doing is just, dude, that is hilarious. I mean, I laughed for hours on that. I still think it's funny. He was so into it. What did I tell you? I was like, I'm not your kid. Come on, bro. You see what I'm saying? If you choose to involve him, if you choose to just love him, I'm interceding, guys. I'm trying to love. I'm trying to get it right. But if you're not going to do these things, you're going to be unproductive and dry in your walk because you're not representing him. You're representing you. And you and I cannot do the things that he's done for us. And that's what Peter's saying. Get back into this. The world wants to replace who God is with works and values and community. And I'm all for works and value and community, but not outside of Jesus Christ, because nothing's going to get me where I need to go but him. So I'm going to end this tonight and just let you know. Galatians 6:9, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. They just keep telling us, guys, you have to stay encouraged. You cannot grow weary. Is there anybody in here who's never grown weary? Because my hand is not up. Okay? Why does he even put that in the Word? Why would he put that in the Word? Because he knows we're going to grow weary. So he's saying, just don't faint. Just don't give up. Just keep believing in the face of all of it. Don't get caught up in things that cause you to waste time, lose out on love, be tormented, and isolate yourself. The enemy thrives on the debate, either the silent one in your head or the verbal one with other people, whether they're Christians or not. Well, they're Muslim. They deserved it. No, they deserve a Savior. Okay? So, you know what? I got no problem. I'm not going to agree with it. I'm not going to stand with it. But I'm not going to hate anybody. We were in California. I've had several opportunities. And we were in California, and there were these people, and they, you know, won't go into it, but they did not believe in Jesus Christ, hated us, and, you know, it was a Baha'i and New Age and all this other stuff. But boy, when you get with some of that Muslim teaching, they can hate you, because it's in the Quran that they can, because if Allah says it's okay, it's okay. So if he said don't do it, you can hate, because Allah said it. So, man, we're getting into this, and all of a sudden, you know, their little kids are just running around and whatever, and I'm like, hey, sir, your kid is really... And so I just said, you know what? We were in my parking lot at the church. I said, I've got some water in. Why don't we just go in here and get your kid a drink of water and let them play with my kids while we finish this? Totally diffused it. Why? Because I didn't get in hatred and show that kid that daddy's right. I walked in love. Not because I'm smart, but because I can't do less for you than he's done for me. And you got to remember who your adversary is. He wants you to debate things on a knowledgeable level, because you'll leave Jesus out. And I got to cement my stand. I know nothing but what I have experienced, and you can't take that away. And if there was a banner that I'd like for you to see over the entrance into the throne room of God tonight, I'd like for you to see this banner that says, all doubters are welcome. All failures are welcome here. Because those are the things the enemy's using to keep you out. And he welcomes you because he's made a way for you. All the hurting are welcome here. All the tormented are welcome. He doesn't want you to come in perfect. He wants you to come in and receive the perfection of Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter's bringing us back to tonight. So you can stand with me, but I want you to know this. Start standing up to your circumstances. The world is not going to replace God with goodness. The world is not going to replace God with another religion that makes everybody happy. Did you ever notice how every other religion's okay, but Christians? You ever notice that? It's because we don't want to fall in line with what Jesus says, because if I do, I have to admit I'm wrong. I have to submit to someone else. And boy, some people just don't want to submit to any authority but their own. Because you can mix the other stuff up. You're not going to mix this up, because you and I know it. So when circumstances come in and you say, but you don't understand, I can't do this because of my circumstances, I want you to turn and say out loud to circumstances, this isn't it. And I'm not serving you. God, right now, I want you to show my foolishness. I want you to show me through this circumstance how big you are. I need you right now, Lord, because I'm getting some stuff that's telling me to move from you and replace you with something else. But I have your word that you've already done these things for me, and I don't want you to be replaced. I want you to clean out my mind and clean out my heart tonight and move, and I want to see the power of God in these situations instead of trouble and torment. How's that for a good prayer? So let's pray it together. God, tonight we are trusting you. We reaffirm tonight, Lord, that we have indeed seen you. We have, through the testimony of the people in this room, through our own lives, God, we have seen you in action. I want to thank you, God, that you're going to bring to our remembrance the times. I'm serious. God, bring to our remembrance the times where you've answered prayers that it couldn't have worked out any other way. God, I want to thank you for the healings, the things that have happened that we've forgotten, God, and we've taken for granted. Move us back into the place of believing that you are who you say you are and that you want to perform, God, for us the provision of your suffering. You want that to have value. And Lord, we want that too. And tonight, God, for the doubters, I just say welcome home to heaven. To those who've been tormented, welcome home. Go on in the throne room. Get out on your knees tonight. Tell him how you're feeling. Lord, speak to those hearts tonight and draw them back to you. Take away the pressure of having to figure it out while we just give it up to you. We give up, Lord. Not on you, but we give up on us being the Savior and return to you tonight. I just thank you, Lord. Let this word, God, sink into our hearts for the times, God, that we'll stand not in defiance, but in confidence. Thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. My soul waits for you alone.